You're listening to the podcast of East River Park Christian Church. If you'd like to find out more information about the church or donate to this ministry, please visit us at eastriverpark.church. We pray that this is an encouragement to you as you grow in Christ through the local church.
And on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and then on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter, he rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, saw the linen cloths by them, and went home marveling at what had happened. Do you approach the empty tomb with wishful thinking or promised hope? Meaning, have we come here this morning to stare at an empty tomb with just wishful thinking that things would get better in your life? Yeah, we know this world's a mess. We feel the heaviness in our world, our country, and maybe even your own life. And yeah, we've heard the Jesus story before. This is Carter County. I would be pretty surprised if you have never heard that Jesus died and came back from the dead. Have we come here today just wishing that Jesus would make things better, as if he is some last-ditch effort to put our life back together? As if he is some last repairman to call in the Google search? Or have we come here this morning to stare at an empty tomb with promised hope? Not a wish, not another chance at redemption, not another Sunday, a promised hope that the resurrection could actually change everything in your life forever. I mean, listen to the haunting Easter prophecy of Matthew 17, verse 22. As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. Before the cross, before the tomb, Jesus literally tells the people he will die and come back from the dead. What's their response? Easter egg hunts? Cooked ham dinners with the family? The response is that they were greatly distressed. Why? Because they could only see the promise of death and never see the promise of the resurrection. And to be brutally honest, that could be you right now. You believe in the death part because that's all around you, but do you believe in the second promise that on the third day Christ was raised and his resurrection was and is a promise that will echo into eternity? It's a promise that your mortal body is not your last body. It's a promise that you can believe and become alive and free in the gospel of Christ Jesus. Let me show you how. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll start in verse 35 today in the series, Not in Vain. If you have a digital Bible, read out of the ESV. If you have a bulletin, it's all there with you. But before we read the text, let's pray together. God, we come before you this morning relating to those words in Matthew 17. What in the world do we have to be distressed about after hearing that Jesus has died and come back from the grave? As if we can only see dark things. As if we look at our life and we feel and see no hope for better days. God, that's not the Easter story. It's not the resurrection promise. God, teach us from your word a kind of promise that can not only change our life today, but God, change our eternity. We trust you with your word, God, that you would do a work this morning. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. As a reminder for those that missed it, around mid-50s AD, a man by the name of Paul wrote a letter to a church in the city of Corinth, a letter to the city in the middle of a major trade center, a letter to a city in southern Greece known for wealth and comfort and luxury, a letter to a city filled with artists and wealthy landowners, a letter to a city filled with this unending level of sin and corruption. And so as we enter 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is specifically writing about the topic of the resurrection, verse 35. But some will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some grain, but God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. There's one kind, it's for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown perishable, what is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown in a natural body, it's raised in spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was this man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. As is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we are born in the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the perishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And the sting of death is sin. The power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Question in your notes. What is the resurrection promise? That's the last, final question in the series that we must answer. And to be fair, we have to believe something important this morning for that question to even work. We must believe that when God makes a promise, well, he keeps the promise. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. We serve a God of promised hope, a hope built on this reality that God keeps his word. He's not a flaky friend. And he's not a deadbeat dad. He is God. And what he says will come to pass. And he is strong enough to make sure that it happens. So the question, what does the resurrection promise? Let me give you point one. Your immortal body will die. Now, I realize that kind of feels like a bait and switch. Things felt like they were, we're moving to a positive direction here, this Easter sermon, and then we get to point one. But seriously, you either came here to listen to the truth, or we came here to feel better about ourselves, and the latter is certainly not going to offer you any kind of eternal hope. So the truth of the word is found in verse 35. They'll ask this question, how are the dead raised? Like, with what kind of body do they come? So Paul has been battling this topic throughout the chapter, from naysayers to skeptics to truth twisters. And so in verses 35 through 49, we read this pointed exposition of what happens to the body in this life. We read an exposition of this parallel between our earthly bodies and then our heavenly bodies. And before we get to the encouraging truth, we must look at the reality of death. You foolish person. Those were Paul's words. That's not mine. You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life until it dies. Meaning the death of the mortal body is a requirement for us all. That God has given each of us a body. God has clothed life and flesh that's different from each other. You see this in verse 39. There's humans, there's animals, there's birds, there's fish. And the common theme in all flesh is that all flesh will die. One day, you will die. One day, your adorable pet that you love so much will die. And you might know it. It's Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That sin is a debt, and the payment of that sin is death. And we might be able to escape the eternal part, but never the temporary. 45-year-old Brian Johnson, he says he's biohacking. That's costing him $2 million per year with a team of like 30 doctors. He maintains a strict regimen, which apparently gives him the heart of a 37-year-old, the skin of a 28-year-old, and fitness of an 18-year-old. And he says his daily routine includes waking at 5 a.m., taking 24 supplements, following a vegan diet with high-intensity exercise routine. And then he goes to bed at the same time every night. And Brian said, what I do may sound extreme, but I'm trying to prove that self-harm and decay are not inevitable. So yeah, we live in a culture that's obsessed with living forever. And I'm not saying we can't take care of our bodies. We should. What I'm saying is Brian Johnson is partly right. We can stop, we should stop self-harm, we just can't stop the decay. Romans 7, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So the first promise of the resurrection is that we will die. I mean, like you all, like we can't come back from the dead unless you first are dead. We are not invincible. We all have an end date. Who will deliver us from this body of death? Probably know where this one's going to go. Point two. What's the promise of the resurrection? You can be raised with Christ. To answer Paul's question, who will deliver us from death? Christ will. Christ who died and defeated death, he will. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast." We are all going to die. And if you want death to be the end for you, what I'm about to say next, you can ignore. Seriously. If you're happy this morning with your immortal body that Paul talks about, and you don't care about a heavenly body that lasts forever, the next part isn't for you. But if you're saying, no, like I want more, I need deliverance from this body of death, then believe in the gospel this Easter morning. Jesus has died for your sin. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose from the dead. And that's a whole lot of Jesus. And I didn't say anything about you or me. It's the result of his work, not our own, that we are saved. It's the only way we get to the other side of the parallel in the passage. Christ is the only way we attain heavenly bodies. Christ is the only way we attain imperishable bodies. Christ is the only way we attain spiritual bodies. Verse 49, just as we are born in the image of the man of dust, or Adam in the garden, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven, Christ Jesus. Like I'm trying to tell you all this morning, that your flesh and your blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But if you are in Christ, you can. Easter is not just a celebration that Christ walked out of the tomb. I mean, that would be profound on its own, but Easter is also the celebration that if we are in Christ, we will likewise walk out of the tomb. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. When Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise. Christians, do you believe that? Christ is risen, but because of Christ, you will also rise. The mortal body is not your last body. Like, what in the world do you and I have to fear but God? So yeah, sickness might destroy the mortal body. And evil people might destroy the mortal body, but sickness and evil can only destroy what was perishable to begin with. If you are in Christ, you have a promised imperishable body up on deck. So a body that doesn't grow cancer, a body that doesn't grow tired, a body that doesn't grow old. If we are in Christ, as verse 54 says, we will one day put on immortality. But you know, it doesn't always feel that way, does it? 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 57 is often a passage I read at gravesides. For whatever reason, I've done a lot of funerals since being here at East River Park, and I've read those verses standing over the graves of grandparents and parents and children. And you're going to tell me like it doesn't feel like defeat in that moment? Like you're going to tell me there's not a haunting amount of grief that comes with death. Kind of grief that leaves this empty space in our hearts as long as we live. Oh, death, where is your victory? Because that one hurts. And oh, death, where is your sting? Because I feel the sting of those tears and the loss over and over and over again. See, friends, death does feel like defeat. And death does sting. But the radical resurrection promise is that death will not have the last word. Friends, like we keep trying to fix our lives with something new. And something new, like whatever that is for you, is not going to fix your mortal body. And I don't know how many times you need to learn that one the hard way. We don't need something new. We need something eternal. We need Christ. So the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. The resurrection promise is that we can be raised with Christ forever. And there are no great graveside services in glory. So what is the resurrection promise? Lastly, maybe point three. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. Colossians 3:1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. If you have been raised with Christ. That's not if you grew up in church. That's not if you try to be a good person. That's not if you like the idea of God. It's if you have been raised with Christ. Because it's an already but not yet reality where we are baptized into Christ now and we are raised with Christ now. So if you have been raised with Christ, you're a new creation. Then seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Meaning the resurrection promise is that it's not that we just get our ticket to heaven and then y'all, like, we just chill. I mean, what a sad and pointless and empty way to live your life. To claim Christ and to prop up your feet and do nothing. Like, you foolish person. That was me that time. Jesus did not die and come back from the dead so we can relax until kingdom come. If you think Christianity is boring, you've been sold an ideology, but not the blood of Christ that actually calls you to make disciples of all nations. Since Christ did all the work, we better get to work. This past week, our three kids started three separate sports, one in softball, one in baseball, one in soccer, and we have always said, even before kids, we always said we would not be those sports parents that fill up their schedule. And here we are. And my wife and I, we share this online calendar, and it's just this constant juggling of work and work meetings and sports. And I'm not going to lie and say I hate it. I don't. I really don't. I love watching them compete. Learning how to win, learning how to lose, learning how to be on a team. And I'm just saying the pace that we created for our family right now is not sustainable. And I realize we're just trying to grow in that. See, here's the thing. It's not that we have empty schedules. I would say most of us don't. It's that we give our lives to things of no eternal worth. Listen to the words of Paul in verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Does that describe you? Are you steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of making more money? Are you steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of winning in sports? Working in the Lord is not doing whatever we want and then sprinkling some Jesus on top. Working in the Lord is giving your life to the Great Commission. It's a gospel work of making disciples. Like Paul didn't write verse 58 because he wasn't sure how to land the plane here. He wrote verse 58 because the resurrection of Christ is what propels us to quit being so spiritually lazy, to get involved in a local church and start building the kingdom of God. It's Matthew 16:26. Like, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? If you give your life to the things of this world, I promise you, it will one day all end for you. You'll have nothing to show for it except the things that don't last. That's a promise. But the promise of the resurrection is that our work in the Lord is not in vain. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. For the one who sows to the Spirit will also from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So yeah, it's worth it. The resurrection promise promises it so, that our work in the Lord is not a waste, that there is victory through Christ Jesus. It's your simple summary question this morning. Do you have victory through Christ Jesus? Because I want to tell you a hard truth this morning. If you are not in Christ, you are already a defeated enemy of God. That's your identity right now. And God is calling you through his word to die to yourself and become alive in Christ. And if you have Christ this morning, well, then I promise it's not going to be in vain. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for just a chance to gather this morning to open your word. A special Sunday to reflect, remember, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ Jesus. God, in this morning, there are men and women, and their lives have been filled with broken promises. Promises that have been given to them that have been left empty. It's just not who you are. It's not the truth of your word. God, when you promise something, it will come to pass. And the promise of the resurrection changes everything in our life. God, and so as we come together and we celebrate the resurrection, I pray, Father, this morning for tired Christians that try to pretend to be excited this morning because it's Easter and they're supposed to be. God, they're tired. God, the promise of the resurrection is that their work in the Lord is never in vain. It is worth it right now, whether they see it or not. I pray that for myself. I'm thankful for your church. I'm thankful for the opportunity to worship you this morning. I pray these things in your son's name.